Talking now with the executive director of the Aganis Classics, Paul Halloran. And Paul, welcome back to MSO. How are you?
I'm very good, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and I know this is an incredibly busy time of year for you. So we're going to get right to it. I want, if you could explain to me, please, about Aganis Week as we approach it here on Sunday. I know Sunday is the opening ceremony, and maybe you could tell me a little bit about what that entails and the awards that are presented.
Sure. We try to accomplish a lot on Sunday in a very short period of time. The foundation gives out 5 major awards, as you know. I know you're a past recipient of one of them.
Yes, indeed. Very proud, yes.
Five major awards, the Dr. Elmo Benedetto Athletics Award, the Harold Zimmern Foundation Award, the David Widener Media Award, the Paul F. Kavanaugh Community Award, and the Attorney Charles DeMarcus Heritage Award. And those are given out for various reasons. People who have contributed not only to the foundation, but to amateur sports, to high school sports. You know, the Heritage Award is to someone of Greek heritage. Obviously, the Media Award is named for a great guy, Dave Widener, who tragically died very young as he was working for the item back in 1992. So we try to just recognize people that, you know, have played important roles over the years. And then we will introduce, we'll name, read off the names of every player who is slated to play in the 9 games this year. And most importantly, as you know, the pretty much the primary, if not sole mission of the foundation is to give out college scholarships. So we will, we have 21 new scholarship winners this year. And we will, all those that are there, we will present them with their college scholarship checks. So, and all that will be done in about an hour.
Yeah, that's tremendous. And the weather looks good. This will be at Manning Field, I presume.
Yes, we're at Manning Field for that on Sunday, and then we get right to it. We're going to play the lacrosse doubleheader at Manning at 11-1. And the softball-baseball doubleheader next door at Frazier at 12-2. So we're going to do 4 of the games right away.
All right, Paul, you got to tell me about the organizational aspect of this, because originally when Bill Newell and I started covering the Aganis Week, back in 78 or 79, it was the football game. And that in itself was a huge undertaking. So tell me about the logistics and getting a football team together, coaches together, but all these other sporting events that you organize.
Well, it is an undertaking, and I'd like to tell you that there's a staff of thousands doing it. That would be, it's very much organic and grassroots. I mean, I lean on, I do the vast majority of it myself. I send out emails to the athletic directors of all the local schools, not just North Shore, but, you know, Middlesex League, Merrimack Valley. And, you know, they're my conduit to the coaches, because obviously I don't have the capacity to reach out to, you know, every single coach in 9 sports and probably, you know, 70 schools. So I ask them to forward the information to their respective coaches, you know, soccer, basketball, lacrosse, football, et cetera, baseball. And, you know, that's how we solicit nominations. You know, we're looking for senior, all-star caliber players in those various sports. And then, you know, and then it's a process of, you know, letting the kids know by email and trying to get them to respond. And, you know, some of them are very good at it and some of them aren't. So, I will tell you, it's become much more laborious to come up with the number of players, that we need. I think we're at about, I'm guessing we're at about 275, 280. Which is probably down a little. A few of our games are down a little, but you know that process of getting kids. And again, it's as you said, it was a football game only for like I think 33 years. Ironically, Harry's number. Mm-hmm. And we started baseball in 1995. We went to softball, and then we went to the 2 soccers. And then we went to the basketballs, and then the most recent, you know, lacrosse started becoming big about 10 years ago, so we added the 2 lacrosse games. They're our most recent ones. I think this year is the 10th lacrosse game, which means we probably started 11 years ago because obviously we did not play in 2020.
But, right. Yeah. Well, the thing is, I'm sure attendance might be down a little bit, but that's true across the board, across the spectrum in schools everywhere. So that's not unusual. And the attendance looks good from what I can see with all the numbers and so on. It's fantastic. What about officials, Paul? How do you organize that?
Well, I'm happy to say we're lucky. They're all volunteer, and I lean on people, mostly folks who assign. I mean, I assign basketball with Bob Mullins, so Bob Mullins takes care of the basketball, and Jack Butler, who assigns lacrosse locally, softball, he's good enough to take care of softball, and I've had Jim McKeever's a baseball assigner, and I think Skip Likens is an assigner this year. He's taking care of baseball, and Jimmy Foley, who is the St. Mary's soccer coach who runs the soccer games for me, he goes out and gets the soccer officials. So, you know, as I say, it's just kind of grassroots. Oh, and Steve Walsh and Don Werner, both of whom have officiated themselves the football game for many years, they'll put a crew together for football. So they're great. You know, they all volunteer. They know what it's a good cause. You know, we give them a shirt. Undying gratitude.
Yeah, I know. And Steve Krause, your colleague, was mentioning the efforts of volunteers and how this has been maintained over the years. And Paul, I guess one or two final questions. How has this been received over the years, anecdotally for you? Because, you know, there's not a lot of critique, I'm sure, or stuff like that from the athletes. But my talking with football coaches, in particular, Paul Ingram and Sean Driscoll, guys like that. They're just awed by this particular week and by what you guys do at the Aganis Foundation.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's like anything else. Nothing is received 100% positively these days. You could have the Pope handing out $1,000 bills and someone would have fine fault with it. But, you know, I think that the kids who participate and probably even more so their parents are generally very appreciative. You know, some of them express that appreciation. They'll come up, you know, and some don't, and that's fine. But, you know, I think that, you know, because for the majority of these kids, it is their last competitive venture. You know, the majority of high school kids do not go on to play college sports. A lot do, but certainly the majority don't. So this is kind of a last hurrah when, you know, typically, you're ending on a loss when your team, or if your team's in the tournament. You know, to quote the great Frank DeFelice, it's a loser's tournament. Everyone loses the last game except one team, right?
Yep, that's
so,
it.
It's a chance to, you know, compete in front of, you know, mostly family, some friends. It's also a chance. I was talking to Bobby Serino the other night. He's one of our football coaches, and you know, he's, as you know, the highly successful Swampscott coach, and you know, obviously has some Swampscott kids on the team, and I know there's at least one Marbling kid on the team, and I don't have to tell you about that rivalry. It's probably one of the greatest rivalries in the state. And, you know, he said these two kids who throughout the season and, you know, clearly didn't really have much use for each other. You know, one of the Swampscott kids and one of the Marbling kids, and now they're all of a sudden they're on the same team, you know. And, you know, football team, it is really a band of brothers. You know, it only works with 11 people operating in the same way at the same time. And, you know, he said, I think it was the first or second night of practice, they kind of just walked by each other and bumped fists and said, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
He thought that was a great thing just to see. And it's great when that can happen. You know, we try to make it happen, you know, any chance we get, you know, to have, like, English and classical kids on the same team, for example, Swampscott and Marblehead kids. You know, and these are top kids, because to be an all-star, you know, you probably have to have a little more than just athletic ability. So I think we're getting good kids, and, you know, I think they're bright enough to realize, okay, yeah, I used to bang heads with this guy, but now he's my teammate, and now we're going to go bang heads together on something else.
Yeah, if they go away to college 3,000 miles away and they're in proximity, they become friends because they're both from Lynn. You know, Paul Ingram said, and the other thing, too, I just realized, Paul, is that most high school all-star selections do not get to play in a game. And Paul was saying that, I think it was Anthony Enderle one time, when he was selected, you know, Anthony was a tremendous player. And he walked in the room, he said, holy cow, I'm not necessarily the best player in this room anymore. And, you know, he met his rivals. That leads me to my final question, I think, Paul, is I know this is a labor of love for you, and I know that it's extremely exhausting and that you sort of collapsed at the end of the week, but what's been most satisfying for you, either across the spectrum or locally now that we're back doing this after COVID?
I think, you know, it really has to start with the scholarships, because that's, you know, the foundation was formed in 1956 for that reason. And I think what's most, and I covered my first Aganis football game as an item stringer in 1985. I think I started at the item in May, late May, early June. Actually, it was early June, because I can tell you it was the St. John's Prep baseball game. Danny Letot was the starting second baseman.
Okay.
And the late, great Bob Rowland was the home plate umpire.
Oh, God. Yeah, there you go.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast, Rick, but I can remember.
Yep.
So the first football game I covered was in 85, and I think for some reason it had been moved to Landigan Field in Wakefield. That might have been one of the several condemnations of Manning Bowl that we had to live through. Mm. Anyway, so I've really been involved since then, you know, as I became item sports editor in 88, and, you know, the item sports editor always was kind of the de facto, you know, PR person for the game. Well, the game, I almost said games. It was just games.
Right, right.
You know, 95. So, but I think the fact that this foundation itself is still around, and what is it, 56 to 66 years now, you know, things come and go. I was reading in the Salem News the other night. There was a road race for Louise Rossetti, who was this legendary woman who ran out of Saugus, who ran road races, I think maybe into her 80s. You know, she was like the godmother of road racing. And, you know, she passed away, and they've had a road race in her memory. And, oh, we're having the last one this year.
Oh, boy.
And,
yep.
You know, the Travis Roy Foundation, which is a tremendous thing, you know, that story. But they feel as if they kind of accomplished their mission. They had they're having their last event, the big wiffle ball tournament, this year. So, you know, things come and go, and that's understandable, because it's a lot to keep them going. So, you know, for this foundation to still be at it 66 years later, and really, you know, keeping the memory of Harry Aganis alive. You know, no disrespect to the wooden statues and arenas, but Harry Aganis' legacy lives today. If this foundation didn't do what it did at the beginning, you would not have a Harry Aganis arena, and you wouldn't have, you know, a statue of Harry Aganis in front of the arena, and a number of other things. You know, you were either going to start to keep his legacy alive right away, or, you know, you let 5 years go by, and it's out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's most satisfying, and a long answer to your question, is that the foundation has been able to carry out that mission for 66 years. This year, we've gone over the $2.3 million mark in scholarships. We still run the 9 games. And, you know, is that going to last forever? I don't know. You know, I know that if it ever gets to the point where we're begging kids to play, then it's not going to last.
Right.
I can assure you of that, because I'm not, you know, that's, maybe someone else would be doing that, but it's not. I mean, I think it's a great honor to be asked to play. Now, if you can't make it, you can't make it. But, you know, we're not going to, you know, we're going to start going to kids' houses and begging them to come down and play. But I think the foundation, I think the scholarship, you know, the foundation is in a pretty good spot. And certainly, you know, the scholarship function is not going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, you know, some of the great names involved with it, Paul, including yourself, to keep this thing going. I go back to Dr. Elmo Benedetto and so many guys. And for me to learn about the Aganis Foundation when I moved here to Massachusetts and over to ESX, it's an amazing legacy. And as an educator, as you know, I totally agree what you do for scholarships. Now, just having the kids play is great, but then the additional bonus of having kids scholarships and so on is just a fantastic thing. Plus, you cover so many communities. So, Paul, congratulations. Have a great week, and have some downtime afterwards.
I plan on it, yes. We're in crunch time now, but I look at next week at this time, actually next Thursday at this time, it'll all be over. So we'll get through it like we always do, and hope for good weather, and hope everyone has a positive experience.
Paul, thank you so much, and again, congratulations. Be well. We'll talk to you later.
I appreciate it, Rick.
Take care. Bye-bye. That is Paul Halloran, who is the executive director of the Agganis Classics, and he has done the job for so many years and done it so well. I implore you to check out the website that we've got posted here on this this post with the interview, and then also see what you can do about attending a game or donating to the Agganis Foundation. Just a very, very worthy cause. $2.3 million in scholarships awarded over the years to 1,040 Agganis scholars. 208 Agganis All-Star Games. That's just amazing. And again, it's for the entire area. With MSO News Sports, my thanks to Paul Halloran. I'm Rick Moore.